Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Forum this morning. This morning, as part of Elton's lesson, we'll be reading chapter 11 in the book of Daniel. So if you're turning your companion Bibles to page 1201, the book of Daniel. And before we start our scripture reading this morning, I'd like you to note the following, that most commentaries and the companion Bible write that the first 20 verses were written as future, but now are history. And starting with verse 21 through the rest of the chapter is still future. So bear that in mind as we read through that, and Elton will expand upon that as part of our lesson this morning. Daniel, the 11th chapter, hear now the word of our Lord. Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion, and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up, even for others beside those. And the king in the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of the years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand nor his arm. But she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. And shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold. And he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom, and shall return into his own land. But his son shall be stirred up, and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow, and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and shall cast down many 10,000s, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north shall return, and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. And in those times though shall many stand up against the king of the south. Also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fail. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities. And the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shalt there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give them the daughter of women corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. And after this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many. But a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cease it to turn upon them. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall, and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a riser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Yea, that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both kings' hearts shall be as do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For as the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. And the arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and they shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such do as wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon his countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountains. Yet shall he come to his end, and none shall help him. Amen.
Can you hear me, Dr. Owen? I guess you know I like to hear Dave read. I give him an awful big chapter to read. Today will be my last Sunday before we head south. I'm going a little side trip to Texas. My brother is not very feeling very well, and he's kind of ill, so we're going over there for a week and on to Florida. I missed the forum, missed listening to Pete from week to week. We don't always agree on everything, but I come anyhow. The only thing that's not fair about it, when I get to talk, he never shows up. never hear when I talk. He takes off. If we get into our lesson this morning, I had Dave read the entire chapter 11 of Daniel to give us a little introduction to our lesson today, which is titled, I usually don't give the title out ahead of time because Howard wants to start working on it. So I didn't give him any clue what it would be. The title today is, Does the Antichrist Have to Be Jewish in Order to Be a Counterfeit of the True Messiah? I'll repeat it one more time. Does the Antichrist have to be Jewish in order to be a counterfeit of the true Messiah? I guess if I would have asked you this morning what your answer would be, I don't know. I know what mine would have been a few years ago, but I don't know where you thought about it or not. The book of Daniel has prophecy in chapters 8, 10, 11, and 12. Now this is what the prophecy is. It's regarding what shall befall his people in the latter days. Now you heard what Dave told you before he started to read. The first 20 verses are history, according to the commentaries and according to the Companion Bible. I certainly realize most commentaries and also the Companion Bible believe, teach, or write, whatever adjective you want to use here, that chapter 11 does say that. And David told you that. That is to say that the first 20 verses have already happened. Was prophecy in the future, but at the time of Daniel's vision, it was then future. I'm not here to argue this morning whether the commentaries or the Companion Bible have the correct interpretation. But one thing you can write down on a piece of paper, I'm positive of, they did not receive their information from Scripture. They used historic events described by secular historians, and Scripture must be interpreted by Scripture and Scripture only. That is to say, prophecy is not fulfilled in the writings of secular historians, especially when the secular historians don't even agree on many things that happened in certain events. I believe that the purpose of prophecy for the end times was written to forewarn those living at the end times of the emergence of the Antichrist. I ask the question here to all of you here this morning. What would be the purpose of what Dave read in the first 20 verses of Daniel 11 if this prophecy has been fulfilled 2,000 some years ago? These prophecies, in my opinion, were given so that when verse 21, look at verse 21, I hope you got Daniel there. I'll read verse 20 for you again. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now, it's 21. And, it says, in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, and he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What good would that do 2,000 years ago to forewarn his people what will happen in the end time? Well, I had the entire chapter read to get us ready for the lesson this morning about verse 21. Everyone will agree, most everyone, that verse 21 is future, and it is the Antichrist. So we're going to talk about that this morning. First, I would have to mention in Isaiah 42:8, his scripture says, I am Jehovah, that is my name. Now, a comment here is, it's a very clear statement as to what God's name is. It is Jehovah. Now, this does not say that Jehovah is one of God's names. It is implying that it is his only name. Now, when we read in Genesis 1:1 that Elam means God. I was going to write it on board here this morning, but I didn't. Elam, E-L-O-H-I-M, means God. And it says in 1:1 that God created the heaven and the earth. If Jehovah has but one name, what is Elam? Well, Elam is one of the many titles of Jehovah. And there's a few other titles such as Elo and El and El. In other words, Jehovah is God's name and he has many titles. Now, with that in mind, let's get into our lesson this morning. I want you to consider, drop down to verse 36 and 37, next page over from where you are. It'll be on page 1204. I'm going to read verse 36 and 37, even though Dave read it. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, who is this king? That's the first thing we got to get, find out the answer. Who is this king? Well, we can prove that by a phrase. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god is quoted in 2 Thessalonians. Will you turn to 2 Thessalonians? Keep your finger there on where we were because we're going right back there. 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter. We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. I think it's on page 1796. Just read two verses. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, and soon son of perdition. Now look at this fourth verse. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, or so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you can see here then that this verse 36 and verse 37 here does indeed refer to the coming Antichrist. Now, having established that Daniel 36 refers to the Antichrist, we are ready to look carefully at this passage and see if we can determine this morning from this scripture whether the Antichrist will or will not be Jewish. To do this study, we must consider various Hebrew words translated God or gods in this passage. In the phrase here, shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, the Hebrew word translated God here is El. El. Now, the problem we got, El is one of Jehovah's titles, but it is also used as false gods. So we got a problem there. The only way to tell if it is used in reference to Jehovah or to false gods is by the context that you're reading. It is clear right here in this context from the phrase, what? Every God, that in the context here, El here is false gods. That is to say, the Antichrist will magnify himself above every and all false gods. Now let's look at another thing here. The second item we need to consider is the phrase here, he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now we know, everyone here knows, that the God of gods is Jehovah. So in this case here, the context tells us that El, E-L, is used as one of the titles of Jehovah. Now the Hebrew word translated gods is Elim, E-L-I-M. Again, the context here in this phrase tells us that it refers to what? False gods, right? Okay, so Jehovah, as we read here, is the God, the true God, over all false gods. Now we got to drop down to the next verse. We haven't got too much clarity up here. What's the very first verse, word? Neither. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now the Hebrew word translated God in this phrase is Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Now, here's our problem we got. The Hebrew language has no indication of upper or lower case letters. So Elohim here can mean Jehovah, but it also, Elohim is also used as false gods. So now, how can we determine in this verse here which is the case? Is it Jehovah or is it false gods? Well, now let us direct our attention to the word neither. That's going to be a clue. I believe that that one word will tell us that the Antichrist will not be Jewish. Let's see if you get the same answer. Listen closely to the scripture context. Listen to this now. If we take Elohim, God, to refer to one of the titles of Jehovah, that will tell us that the fathers of the Antichrist were Jewish because Elohim would be a title of Jehovah. Who is the God of the Jews? Who is the God of the Jews? I should have said comma there. Now I'm going to repeat that one more time. If we take Elohim, or if we take God here, to refer to the one of the titles of Jehovah, that will tell us that the fathers of the Antichrist were Jewish because Elohim, God, would be a title of Jehovah, who is the God of the Jews. But if Elohim here, God, is used in reference to false gods, that will tell us that the Antichrist will not be a Jew, because even though Jews indeed worshipped false gods in their history, false gods were never the gods of the Jews. Jehovah is the God of Israel. So how can we tell what is meant here? For sake of clarity, keep looking at your verses there. Let us use the Hebrew terms, and I'm going to omit a few phrases that do not help us at all in answering our question. Now you look at verse 36, and that in this passage, I'm going to leave some phrases out. You find in verse 36 the word he. You got that? Got that? Okay, now I want you to find the next word is shall. Got it there? Okay, I'm going to read it. He shall speak marvelous things against the El of Elam. In other words, that is to say, the God of gods. I'll go over that again. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Now drop down to verse 37. What's the next thing we want to say? Neither shall he regard the Elam, God of his fathers. I'll read that all together. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. What does that simply put? We are told right there that the Antichrist will speak against the El of Elam, the God of gods, who is, of course, Jehovah, right? Then, note the word neither in the phrase. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, let's summarize that. The word neither tells us that the Antichrist will do one thing, and he will also do something else. He will speak against Jehovah. You might notice that. And he will not regard Elam or the God of his fathers. He will speak against Jehovah, and he will not regard the God of his fathers. Note how precise the Holy Spirit chose an exact word to be written in the Holy Word. If we understand the phrase, Elam of his fathers to refer to Jehovah, then neither has no meaning. That is to say, it makes no sense to say that the Antichrist will speak against Jehovah and not regard Jehovah. It would make no sense at all, would it? But if we understand Elam here to refer to false gods, it all makes sense. That is to say, this passage tells us that the Antichrist will speak against Jehovah, and he will not regard the false gods of his fathers. Another important phrase to consider is, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, the context of that has to do with the Antichrist and his relationship with Jehovah and his relationship with false gods. If we understand that the Antichrist will speak out against Jehovah, the real God, and also have no regard for false gods, he then does what? He magnifies himself above all gods. By putting all these phrases together, Scripture, I believe, reveals that the Antichrist will not be a Jew. I don't know whether that upsets you or not. I'll have to ask Howard later on. Question: does the Antichrist have to be Jewish to be counterfeit of the true Messiah? Well, first let us establish that the Antichrist will try to be a counterfeit of the Messiah. Flip over to Matthew, if you will, 24th chapter, I think it's page 1365. Matthew 24, we're just going to read in verse 22 and 23. Matthew 24, we'll look at 22 and 23. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. So in other words here, there will be those in the end times who will be declaring themselves to be the Christ. I believe the truth of the old adage that people will believe what they want to believe. There is no question in my mind about it. An unbeliever in those days will accept the Antichrist as the true Messiah. Why do I say that? If they are unbelievers, they will not believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary and was that true Messiah. Therefore, they are looking for the Messiah's first coming, not the second coming. They're looking for his first coming. That is to say, unbelieving Jews do not believe that Jesus Christ fulfilled the role of the Messiah and are therefore still looking for his first coming. They do not accept a second coming of the true Messiah. Now there are many prophecies concerning the first coming of Christ, which are certainly not going to be fulfilled by the Antichrist. In other words, many will accept the Antichrist as the true Messiah despite the fact that he will not fulfill any of the prophecies concerning him. What are some of these prophecies that will not be fulfilled? Well, you could probably think of some of them. Number one, Christ will be born in Bethlehem. And Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, recorded in Luke 2nd chapter, 4th and the 7th verse. The Antichrist will not be fulfill that prophecy. We also read in Malachi 3:1 that there will be a forerunner to prepare the way of Christ. We read in Luke the 7th chapter, 24th and 27th verse, that that prophecy was fulfilled by John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ. We do not read anywhere in the scripture of the Antichrist having a forerunner. I believe many will be deceived into believing the Antichrist is the Messiah in spite of the fact that he will not fulfill any of these prophecies announcing the coming of Christ. And therefore, probably will not even consider the fact that he will not be Jewish. Since there is no scripture evidence whatsoever to suggest that the Antichrist will be Jewish, it appears to me there will be little to maybe no weight for unbelievers to even think about whether the Antichrist is Jewish or not Jewish. In closing, I would like to make the following comment on the prophecy of Daniel 11 that Dave read. The first 20 years, if the prophecy of Daniel 11, first 20 years have not been fulfilled, and if the Holy Spirit wrote them to forewarn his people living at the end time of the events that will happen and at the end time, which do include the coming of the Antichrist, his people will not likely consider any signs of the coming Antichrist, because Christian writers, through the avenue of secular historians, have written that most of these events that were forewarning in chapter 11, they have already been fulfilled. Again, I believe these prophecies were forewarning his people of end time events. And when the Antichrist comes, that he would have been recognized, that he will be recognized as such before they see the abomination of desolation, so that they could have fled to the mountains and been taken care of as prophesied. I will make this statement, and maybe no one agrees with me. What a tremendous victory for Satan if this forewarning prophecy in the book of Daniel has been erroneously obscured. I think I should close with this one statement. I certainly do believe that the historic events mentioned in commentaries and written on the side of your companion Bible here actually happened. Every one of them happened. And they do closely, real closely, identify with prophecy of the end times of chapter 11 of Daniel. However, there is no comparing anywhere scripture with scripture to prove that they have already fulfilled the prophecy that I believe that the Holy Spirit intended for the end times. When verse 21, which you read here, starts out and says, "And a vile person shall stand up in his estate." And verse 20, historians write that that estate in verse 20 was destroyed several thousand years ago. It makes no sense to me how this warning can be useful to those living in the end of times of events that will surely come to happen. Therefore, I believe the Antichrist will arrive on the scene. He will not even have to be Jewish, but he will be recognized and be treated as the true Messiah the first 3.5 years of the last 7, before he plants the abomination of desolation on the temple. Before I close, I would like to give you a little example that I believe is in the fallacy of using history to fulfill Bible prophecy. I told you most commentaries, and even in this particular case, our companion Bible, writes that the first 20 verses are history, and beginning with verse 21, which scripture does point out that the vile one is the Antichrist, which naturally means that would be future. Just this week, I happened to pick up a book in which the author was writing on the prophecy of Daniel 11. To my surprise, he used secular history. He used history, and he agreed 100% with the Companion Bible's rendering of history. Only at verse 21, when the Companion Bible starts out with future, this writer continued on with history and gave the name Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes as the vile person in verse 21. The author even takes the king through verse 31 and 32, where he defiled the temple and suspended the daily sacrifice, and then he names various kings on after that, clear on down to Julius Caesar and Herod the Great. I should point out that this author never referred to verse 36 and verse 37, which we just covered this morning. Why didn't he? Because it was not recorded in the history scrolls. He wasn't able to get that out of there. He couldn't find that in the history. So again, when Scripture is silent, including the first 20 verses, Christian writers should also, in my opinion, be silent. Okay, that's all I got this morning. I'm sorry that I got to go away for 6 months. You'll have Pete to listen to till I get back again. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for many blessings you give us. We thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for revealing thy truth to us. We pray as we leave here this morning, every one of us will be a witness for thee in our actions and our thoughts and what we say, that we'll be glorify thee. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen.